Thank the Lord tonight for His salvation to me. It truly is a wonderful thing. I hope every one of us tonight are enjoying that salvation, because it was meant to be a source of joy, and not a minimum amount, but that our joy might be full. God help us to exhibit the joy of God in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our words, in the conduct of our life, that it is a pleasure to know God, that it is a joy to have God, and that nothing can compare to the blessings of God. We need, as saints of God, to let the world know, I am indeed happy that I'm saved. I have found in God joy. Joy is that which every man wants, and that which we all seek after. Joy is that man finds elusive, and man finds it unstable many times. But I believe he said that joy and peace, that it could remain in us. And it could be the peace that he had with the Father, and that our joy could be full. Tonight, let's look at this all together, not just joy, but the source of joy. Really more than just joy itself. Mankind got deceived many years ago. And because of that deception, it became an hereditary thing. And every man since Adam and Eve have fallen under the pale, or the pall, rather, of that curse. And because of it, man forfeited joy and peace. And because of it, hard things came. And because of that fall, men's hearts were turned from truth into error. And because of that fall, men began to clamor and design and desire some way back. And they'd invented and came up with all kind of ways. So we're down here now in the 21st century, whatever it is. And we look around us and people are still desiring joy, desiring happiness, still trying to find it in what man has come up with. I'd like to read some of David's dilemma, just a little episode of his life, but it can parallel us because it tells us some about man's desires, our hopes. It also tells us something about God. And it tells me and you something else about a source that we can have within us, a source of joy and a source of the peace that mankind so desperately longs for. It can tell us a way of how to regain that which is lost, how to have again that which we forfeited, and to enjoy what God has for us. 51st Psalm seems to have been written after David had behaved in a way that he lost favor with God, did a terrible evil. And that's not so much the thought tonight. But in the 51st of Isaiah, you remember we've talked the last couple of Sundays about this tremendous plague that has come upon mankind, and that plague is sin. Well, here's some of the effects of it, and I want you to know something tonight. If you're contemplating sin, the effects have not changed. Young people, if you're riding the fence tonight, sin and its effects have not changed. The message that we already preached, the message of the wages of sin, is still death. If you're still thinking, or if you're thinking tonight, not just young, but if you're thinking of trying some things, leaving Father's house, I want you to know something. That befell David will befall you. It hasn't changed a bit. David said, I acknowledge my transgression in the third verse, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. This was David's dilemma. It wasn't Delilah's fault. It wasn't her husband's fault. It was David's fault. David yielded. David did that which was wrong. David consented to something that he knew was wrong. And he sinned against God. Too many times, people want to blame other people for their lack of joy, their lack of peace, their lack of stability, leaving the church, and on and on. Too many times, people want to blame this world because and say they can't live for the Lord. I believe in a God who is greater than all the world. And I believe in a God tonight who said He would come and dwell within us and never leave us, never forsake us. And in that indwelling, He said, I'll be greater than all the world. And I'll be alive in you. And I'll be a light. And I'll be a fire burning. And I'll consume the dross. And I'll purge you and wash you. Make you clean where it really counts. Tonight, if you're contemplating not living for Jesus, I would advise you to well count the cost. Tonight, if you're thinking about some things aren't necessary that you've been taught, that you partially believe, I advise you to count the cost. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Remember that. Remember tonight that in the judgments of God, He will vindicate and clear Himself. And He'll go to the heart of the matter. That's me, or that's you. He'll go around all the superficial things that men have laid out and said, these. They're just charades to God, and they're nothing more than that. He's going to look down in my heart and your heart and judge clearly and righteously and godly. He can do no else, none better. He cannot do anything but that. So David got a glimpse of that. I could blame Delilah for what she did. Let's see, it wasn't Delilah, was it? Why ain't y'all already correcting me? Bathsheba. I could blame Bathsheba. But it wasn't her fault. Then Uriah, if that man had not slept at my doorsteps, I could blame him. But no, I can't do that. We're going to each one bear our own burden. We each one have got to confess our own sin. And we each one have to face God with our sin or with the life of Christ. So David is clearing up these things. He's getting rid of the excuses. He's getting rid of the charades. He's getting rid of the little pawns that man likes to set out in front of them and sacrifice those things. Blame others. He looks down at himself. He says, the root cause is me. I want to tell you something, folks. And I'm talking to me. The root cause of the problems are not the world per se. I'm not vindicating the world or saying it's a lovely place for morality and holiness. And I'm not telling you and me that we're going to get treated and get the square deal every time. In fact, prepare to get some unsquare deals. But the struggle, the strife, the longing, the wrong decisions, the unkind words, the pouting, the withdrawing from God, it always comes from the man and not his surroundings. Remember that. God has told you and me we will give account, every one of us, of the deeds done. There'll be no excuses because righteousness reigns. Righteousness is alive. Holiness has come in the form of Jesus Christ, and the blood of the Holy Lamb has been spilled. Would to God we as mankind could just void ourselves of our excuses and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the lukewarm one. I'm the backslidden in heart. I'm the one that's cranky. I'm the one that's putting up the excuses. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I've lost my joy, Lord, and it's my fault. I've lost the peace, and it's my fault. I let the little foxes come around. I let that thing come in my heart and find lodging. I'm the one that carried that burden and carried it and would not bring it to you and turn loose. I'm the one that held on to that attitude, Lord. Oh, that we would today find the peace of God that passes all understanding. He said he'd keep us in perfect peace, but there's a qualifier there. To those whose minds and hearts are stayed in the Lord. You know what happens to us, folks, as people now? We wander. Our mind, our eyes, our ears, our emotions, all about us, get over here and get over there, and we, Lord, help us to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. And I'll tell you where it really gets us is when we get our minds on ourselves and what we want, what we feel, what we think, what we desire, what we lust after, what we covet after, what we think is unfair. And folks, that's not a good place to look. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Father, the fault lies right down here. And you know, you can't help that, folks. And I can't either. We can't help what happened to us back there. But we can do something about it now because Jesus Christ has come. The Lamb is slain. The blood is applied. The Holy Ghost is sent back. Jesus is full of grace and full of truth, willing to bear our burdens and our crosses, willing to yoke up with us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, willing to purge our conscience by His blood, in Hebrews it says, from dead works. Hallelujah. Praise God that we can have tonight what we never could have had before as humans, and that's a pure heart, a pure conscience. And that that shapened me in iniquity, my heritage from Adam and yours, can be purged, cleansed, and delivered. And in sin did my mother conceive me. He went on to say, and here's something I think important tonight. Brother Fuller talked to us a little bit today about God's desire for us. And it's really nothing but good things, wholesome things. Did you know evil was not invented by God? Oh, no, it was created by God. I'm not in a discourse tonight to tell you where it all came from, but it wasn't from God. God's holy. He doesn't lie, and neither can he or will he lie. And he'll not tempt us with evil. Evil came from a source outside of God, some way. And that comes around to pollute and tamper with God's property. The Lord has given me a burden to wage a war, folks. I don't want to get redundant, and I don't want to get overboard with it. But God hates sin. And God wants to deliver men. And God has some desires for us. And He said, behold, look here what God is wanting. And He's wanting it today. God is saying, David is saying, behold, O Father, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Here's my thought. Down in our hearts, where all the issues of life come from, get rid of all the excuses. Get rid of what the world says. Get rid of what Hollywood is doing. Get rid of what the music, just put that aside, folks. Here's what God is looking for, is truth down in the very center of the man and the woman that we are here tonight. God is looking for the application and the indwelling of His truth down in our hearts. The seat of our affections. The fountain of the issues of life. God is saying, let me come into you. Let us purge you and wash you and cleanse you in my blood and with my spirit. And let us labor together. I believe God. I know God. He said we're laborers together with God, with Christ. God wants to come down right down to where the rubber meets the road and where the problem is. He said, of the things that you desire, and may I say this without doing violence to the Scriptures, the truth of God, which is, in essence, the only truth. There's other so-called truths. But everything that is pure and holy and clean and righteous is of God. It's truth. And what God wanted in Adam and Eve, what He wanted in Abraham, what He wanted in Moses, and what He wants in us is His truth abiding in us. He said it has a liberating quality. It sets us free. It sets us free from all the noise around us, folks. I believe that. Oh, I'm not saying the saints don't have to go to their prayer closet. No, I'm not saying that at all. Indeed, we must. But we're no longer sold under the yoke of Egypt bondage. We no longer have to be a prey to all the worries and the frettings of this old world. We can take our bodies and quietly and gently place it in God's hand and know it's in the best place. We can trust Him with the very being of our soul, our homes, our marriages, our children. We can truly, and I believe this as much as I understand it, we can turn loose and let God. We can give up ourselves. We can, by the indwelling of this truth in our life. We do not have to suffer the anxiety that sometimes Christians suffer. God's got something better for us. I'm not saying that we won't cry, no. And I'm not saying we won't miss someone who goes to their reward, no. And I'm not saying if you're in a car wreck, you won't be somewhat frightened. No, you will be. But I'm saying God has a desire for us. That in spite of everything that goes on around us, there is a peace and a joy and a quietness that you and me can have by the entrance of God's truth as a force, a power in our life, as a comfort, as a waymark, as a bulwark and a standard, as something concrete, if you will, and something established. God said through David, what He desires is down on the inside of every one of us for His truth to be established there. And what better place could there be? There's where we are. This is who we are. This is the man that's tempted. This is the man that's tried. This is the young person that wants to try their wings and take their birthright and leave. This is the man, the woman that has choice. And God said, oh, before you get too deep in all those choices, choose to have truth. Did you know Proverbs? I told you a little bit about Brother Ware to find in a few pages or a page or two of the book of Proverbs. Did you know what Proverbs means? Facts and truth. God wants those Proverbs of His Word and of His Spirit to be imprinted within us. So when the choices come, I've got something to base them on. I've got something to judge the choice with. Then I've got a light shining in me. Then I've got a strength illuminating me. Then I've got a power that lives in me and that has the power to empower me. I believe Jesus called Him even the Spirit of Truth. It's not some little weak thing that you memorize, but is the living God, the Spirit of God, and His truth in our hearts. God said, I desire that. God loves us. God loves us so much He gave His only Son. We know that. God loves us and He wants good things for us. Jesus wanted to hold the children and gather them together as a hen does her chicks. God wants to winnow our path, young man, young lady, and all us older ones. We don't have to go through life stumping our toe and making fools of ourselves. We don't have to go through life climbing fool's hills for 25 years. There's something better than that. God has a spirit that He wants to give us, a power He wants to give us, an authority He wants to give us. God wants to dwell within us, truth in the inner man, where it all comes from. Someone hurts your feelings. And that reaction, it's unlike God. That's not that person's fault. You're responsible for that. Someone mistreats you and takes advantage of you financially. And you get angry and lash out and spread things, throw things. It's not that person's fault that you did that. That's your responsibility. God wants truth right here where it really counts. Spirit of truth, the power of truth, the authority of truth, the righteousness of truth, the illumination of truth. God wants that in us, folks. One writer said, and you're complete in Him. I'll say this, without this truth, a saved individual is incomplete. And a saved individual, better watch out. We can call it the Spirit of Truth. We can call it the Holy Ghost. We can call it power from on high. It's quite a few names. Saved individuals. This salvation we believe and the Bible teaches, it's not a salvation of suppression. When you're saved, I'm saved, God's forgiven us, folks, and we're brand new. And there's not a thing against us in our record. We're clear before God. We die, we're going to heaven, going to paradise. Not long after we're saved, you know what happens, don't you? Sure, we get tempted. And in that zeal and in that newfound love and that glorious freedom from sin and knowing you're forgiven, there's a power in that. Make no mistake about it. Without getting into a controversy, we receive from the Spirit of Christ. We receive from God something very special. But the inward man still needs some help. The inward man is still not, well, let's say it this way. The resistance to sin in a justified condition becomes more of a suppression. And God wants that truth to come down in the inner man. He wants His Spirit to come with power from on high, authority, not only to suppress temptation. Thank God for that. And do that if you're tempted. And by all means, don't sin. But God has a living power in us. And that power is able to go back and get what we picked up from Adam and do something about it. And that's important. And that's necessary. And in that man, a lot of ways to describe this, I know. But in that transaction and the Spirit of Truth abiding within us, the authority, the appetite has been broken. It has been purged. It has been cleansed. And this is what God desires. He wants truth more than just in the Ten Commandments. Nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. They're excellent. They're truth. They're God. More than just in the Bible. Praise God for the Bible. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Full of truth. 66 books of nothing but truth. But God wants the Spirit of the Word. God wants Himself abiding in us. The power and the authority of it. Going beyond, well, I know I should not lie now ooh, I'm tempted, but I'm not. Oh, I just have to really suppress this urge. God's got something better. Because you see, in that going on, in that condition, it's really not that exciting. It's not really that joyful in that particular mode. I am so glad today God wants to come down in our hearts. God wants to work a work. He wants to abide there. He wants to teach us how to cast our cares on Him, knowing that He cares for us. Lord, You desire truth down in the inward part. Remember that. God wants that. And I say this, God only wants what is right. And God only wants what is best. Let's quit flirting with the flesh. I say that to just whosoever ears it falls on. Let's quit flirting with the flesh. Don't we know tonight, and don't we remember the words of the apostles? That the flesh is enmity with the Spirit and the Spirit with the flesh? Don't we know there's a gulf fixed between it and there's a hatred there? Don't we realize the flesh will lead us and lie to us? It'll paint a rosy picture and tell you what you ought to do and what you deserve and create an appetite in you. God help us, it's the church of God, not to flirt with the flesh. We've got to be able to say no. And the only way I know to do it effectively and consistently is through the power of truth, the power of God dwelling within the inner man. Taking control of the reins of our life. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy. Yes, amen. And gladness. I wonder sometimes if our lack of joy, and I don't mean bubbling over outside joy necessarily, just joy. I wonder if our lack of joy is because we've learned to lean on the flesh too much. Think about it. I wonder if we have too many conversations with the flesh. I want to tell you something. This little sickness I went through, by the way, God just making me better every day. Feel much better. I had some conversations with the flesh. You're dying. You got pancreatic cancer. We got to be real careful because we're very, very human. I wonder sometimes if we just carry on too many conversations with the flesh. Now, if I want sympathy, all I got to do is get in a good conversation with old Stan Dixon. And I got it. I got all the sympathy, Sister Marcia, I need right there. Oh, I may go see my wife and try to gain some more. But I want to tell you something. Lord, help us as the saints to recognize our dilemma. Many times, in our lack of that joy and peace, could be we've learned to converse with ourselves. And we've become our own counselor. We've become our own director. Now I remember, is it the 9th chapter of Isaiah? And it said that this son and this child that was being given and born unto us gave him quite a few names, and one of his names was Counselor. Counselor, the Mighty God. I wonder tonight, I want you to think about this. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody but me, probably. Think about it. Whence comes wars? You know, where do they really come from? Think about this. I believe God's got something so good for me and so good for you that I won't have time for myself near as much. And then when I get to thinking too much about myself, God's got a way, I believe, of coming around and saying, Stan, going the wrong way. That spirit of truth. That spirit of truth. I believe God is going to be as true to my soul as anything anyone could ever be. He will not just let me slide into apostasy. He will not let me slide into sin. He will not let it come around a corner and just jump out and get me. I believe the Lord will protect your soul and my soul to the degree we allow Him to and listen to Him and obey Him. I believe He'll keep us clean, folks. I believe He'll keep us holy. I believe His truth is all we need abiding in us. Lord, You desire it now. What do I desire? What do I want? If I observe the truth as a restriction, as a gnawing yoke upon me, if I look at truth as a hindrance for me having fun and getting my way, then I'm probably going to stay away from it. I'm not going to put my all on the altar. But if I really want peace, if I truly, 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 truly want peace, if I really and honestly want my joy to be full, then the answer is embracing God's truth. Embracing His truth. So simple, yet so hard. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. The only way I know to do that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd encourage us tonight to be washed in the blood, to be cleansed by the blood. I would encourage us all tonight to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. And you look at the trail that dishonesty leaves, and you'll find that the acorns don't fall that far from the tree. Most of them come from us. Come from me out of tune with God. Me wanting something outside of God. Me not being in tune with the Spirit of truth. Me not in my prayer closet. Me not reading. Me not confessing my weaknesses. Me not telling God that I love Him and I want to serve Him. It's me falling in a place of temptation and not running as Joseph did and getting away from it. It's me listening to what I think. I don't know. Tonight I'm burdened for me, myself, and I. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want you to go. I don't want sin to reign in our mortal bodies. And I want us to be a joyful, happy people. You pardon me for saying this, and I don't mean to offend. Sometimes I wonder if we don't have too many problems. Think about it. And I wonder, is it my fault or is it somebody else's fault? I look at it this way, and the brother preached to us somewhat this way this morning. Life befalls us in part to show us who we are and what we need to do. Of things that you and me have let creep in, or happen, I believe God teaches us through adversity. So I'm thinking this. There are things that happen to me. Sometimes they're time and chance. I believe that too. Sometimes things happen to me because He won't get the lesson any other way. I've sent Him my word. I sent him a song. He was just reading in the Bible the other day the answer to his problem, and he won't get the answer. Point. And I truly believe God says, I'm going to try this approach on him. First thing you know, We got a calamity, or what we think is a calamity. Then we start trying to sort through that and weed it all out, and God in His faithfulness lets us push and scratch and look around. But if we're honest, God will keep drawing us back. Have you looked over here yet? You know the little game we used to play with children? I spy. I spy something white. Oh, you start guessing all over the place and get, well, oh, you're cold, you know. And got a piece of paper. Oh, you're getting warmer. I know God doesn't play games with us. But I wonder sometimes if He doesn't just let us look around and look around. And then we start getting a little warmer. He says, oh, you're getting warmer now. And after a while, we've looked all in the peripheral and looked all around us, and God's been so faithful to us. Finally, we kind of looked down at our chest, and guess who, where the problem was? It's been me all along. And God allowed something, adversity, to come along, so I would start seeking the problem. I love the Lord tonight. He's been more to me than I've ever been to Him. He saved me. He delivered me. He washed me. He's given me joy, and He's given me peace. Tonight, God wants truth in the inner man. And I'm convinced if that truth is there, and if that truth is the Spirit of truth, and if that truth is truly reigning, and if we have submitted to that truth, I believe an outcropping of that and a product of that is joy. That's the thing we said so elusive. I believe joy comes with being sheltered in the arms of love. I believe joy comes when knowing I've cast all my burdens on the Lord. I believe joy comes when I know I'm walking down the right highway. I'm not having to look around and wonder. I'm not lost anymore. Create in me a clean heart. May the Lord help us tonight. Truth. One pilot, I believe, said, what is truth? Truth is God. Truth is Jesus. Truth is the Word. Truth is the Spirit. And truth wants to come, praise God, and live right here in our heart with all its power and all of its authority, all of its graces and all of its beauty, all of its joy, all of its freedom, and all of its peace, liberating, setting us free, being able to turn loose and let go and let God. I thank the Lord tonight for His truth. Paul said something about, maybe he said in Philippians, hadn't quite attained to it. Maybe he was speaking about martyrdom, some say. Maybe he was speaking about going on and be with the Lord, some say that. Maybe he was saying there's so much in God and so much in Christ. How can I ever attain to it all? But he said this one thing, I'm pressing for it. It's important to me. And I want it more than anything else. And you know the Bible told us, that's when we find it. That's when we find it. A double-minded man, quite unstable in all his ways. But you know who finds it? The man that seeks for it with all his heart. Tonight. Seek truth. Pursue it. Set it as a crown. Set it as a gem. And he said, there's where the peace is and there's where the joy is. Thank the Lord tonight. We can have this. We don't have to carry some things that we're carrying. I don't know what you're carrying. I know what I'm carrying. And we don't have to suffer the ill effects of them, of robbing joy out of our life. You pray for me. Tonight, the Lord told David to write to you and me. And he said this, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Pray for me.